I want you this morning to take your Bible and go to the book of John, chapter number 12. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. If you cannot find John, just turn to somebody beside you, and they'll help you find it. You say, "I'm afraid," they'll think I'm crazy. They already know. There ain't no need to try to hide it right now. So anyways, I want you to find John chapter number 12, and I'm going to read in verse number 20. This morning, I am going to preach a message entitled, "Sir, We Would See Jesus." In John chapter number 12 and in verse number 20, the Bible says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now I want you to watch in verse number 23 how Jesus answers when somebody desires him. "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." I love this next phrase. "Father, glorify thy name." The Bible tells us in verse number 20 that there were a group of people that had come to Jerusalem. And there are three different types of people that had come to Jerusalem. There were those that lived there who were Jews. There were those that lived there who were Romans. And then there was everybody else. And that is the way that people looked at people who would travel in. The feast that is coming up is the feast of the Passover. And at the feast of the Passover, the Bible tells us that every Jew above the age of 12 years old was to come to Jerusalem in order to bring their lamb to sacrifice. And so this would have been the most crowded city in the world as Jews from all across the world converged on one place. The Bible tells us that among this group of people, there were a certain group of Greeks. Now, I don't really know who they were. You don't really know who they were. And every book that I read this past week, they had no idea who those people were. All we know is they weren't Jews. Man, they come down to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, here's what they hear. They hear that there is a man. There is a man who has walked on the water. There is a man that has fed 5,000 men. There is a man that has healed a withered hand. There is a man that has brought a man up out of the grave. There is a man that has been on the back of a donkey and has ridden into town. And people are saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Here come these Greeks. And honey, they come down and they make this statement. They say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Up until the point that I got this new pulpit, and I still have the sign, I just can't find a screwdriver. And honey knows you don't want me with a pyre tool. I had a drill one time, and I burnt down my house, the neighbor's house, rolled his car into the ditch. You do not want me with electronic tools. So I'm begging God to give me somebody that knows how to run a drill. I don't know how I got off on that story, but anyways, right back to my message. Here there on that pulpit, Preacher Kanoy had a sign that used to sit every time that he would preach. And it said, John 12:21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Brothers and sisters, I realize today that you did not come into this place because you heard that there was a boy that had ADHD running out of every crevice and hole in his body. You did not come into this place today because you heard that they had a beautiful choir. You did not come into this place today because you heard that they had the most wonderful teachers. You have come today because you have heard that there is a God that is moving inside of that house of worship. And there is a God that can do for you what nobody else can do for you. Say, "Preacher, that's not why I come." Well, then be quiet, because I am not talking to you today. I am talking to the one who has come in, and from their soul and from their heart, they have a heart cry, and it says, "Preacher man, we want to see Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, there are three groups of people that have come in here today to hear the Word of God. Number one, there are people that are celebrating. There are people in this auditorium today, and you have joy in your heart. You have joy in your soul. You have grace in your life. You have so much joy that you can't see straight. You wake up in the morning time, and you don't know why you feel so happy. All you know is there's joy bubbles inside of you, upside of you, downside of you, inside of you, and outside of you. You remember the day that you drank liquor, but you feel like you're still drunk, but you're just drinking from a new fountain. You feel like you're still high, but your juice is Jesus, and something is all over you, and you can't shake it. You've tried to shake it. You've tried to get it out of you. You've tried to change you. You've tried to do everything you can, but there's joy inside of your heart. There are people in this room that are celebrating. Number two, there are people in this room that are critical. I understand today that many of you look and have come because your family members have said that they found religion, and you've come into this room because you've said, "Dear God, what kind of Kool-Aid are they serving down there on the side of Church Street?" And you've walked in and you found things wrong with our bathrooms, and you found things wrong with our yard maintenance, and you found things wrong with our pews, and they're too short and you can't sit right, and it hurts your back to sit here. Maybe we run the air too high, or the heat too cold, or maybe the choir doesn't sing your favorite song. And there are critical people in here. I know that, but honey, I'm not talking to the celebrating people this morning. I'm not talking to the critical people this morning, because if you were critical of me before you ever knew me, you'll be critical of me after you meet me. And at the end of the day, I could die tomorrow, and when I'm dead and in the ground, there's going to be somebody else that's going to stand up here, and he's going to tell you the same thing. "Sir, you can see Jesus today." So I want you just to get a good look at me, because I may not be here next week. God may take me home to glory, and that would be just fine with me, but some other skinny preacher is going to stand up, and he's going to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, high, holy, and lifted up, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing the devils can do about it. There ain't nothing that the demons can do about it. There ain't nothing that the tormentors can do about it. There ain't nothing the Democrats can do about it. There ain't nothing the Republicans can do about it. The Green Party, Communist Party, Red Party, Blue Party, Purple Party, Barney's Party, Andy's Party, and Thelma Lou, Laura Lee, Hobbs Party. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I can do about it, because he was God before you got here. He'll be God after you leave, and he is all the time, always in control. He is God. So if you're critical, God bless you. I sure am glad that you came today. But I'm talking to the third group of people that are in here this morning, because I know that scattered throughout every pew and in every row and in every aisle, there's a third group of people here. And you're not celebrating, but you're not critical. You are curious. You're wondering what it is about these people. What is it about what they're giving? What is it about what they're talking about? What is it that they're celebrating about? What is it that that man gets up every single week? And we don't know if he's shaved or not shaved. We don't know if he's going to wear a purple tie or a blue tie. We don't know if he's going to jump over the pulpit or into the choir loft. What is it about that man? And you're curious. You see, that is what these Greeks were. They were coming because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know who was happening. All they knew is that everybody was in an uproar, and they weren't excited about Caiaphas. They were excited about Christ. They weren't excited about the high priest. They were excited about the one that said he talked to his Father, which was in heaven. They weren't excited about the people that slay the Lamb. They were excited about the one that John cried and said, "Behold the Lamb of God God, they were curious about this one, and they came and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I'd like to answer three questions this morning. Unless God gives me another one, I may answer four questions this morning. But right before I walked into the sanctuary, God changed my mind on the message. And so if it goes good, you'll know God gets the glory and not me. Ladies and gentlemen, three questions that I'll ask this morning. Number one, what had they seen that had failed them? You and I both know that you don't go looking for something if you've already got something that makes you happy. No sane man has ever gone to a car dealership and went hunting for a car if the car he was driving made him happy. Honey, I got a splendid idea the other day. I said, "Erica, dear," I said, "we've never been able to afford a car, but God's been good to us and the church has been good." I said, why don't we just find you a nice car, a good ride. And boy, her eyes lit up and she was so excited, man. She just bloomed as the noonday sun and as a flower growing and flowing in the wind, or whatever they said about those people. And I said, "Here, let's look online," because I knew if you get out there on that car lot and you start sniffing that stuff, it makes you higher than a man smoking four doobies at the end of the day. If you go out there and get that new car smell in your mind, I promise you, honey, you're going to walk off the lot with one of two things. You're going to have a name tag because you're working there, or you're going to have you a brand new ride. And you know what she said? She batted them big old green eyes, honey. She batted them green eyes at me, and she said this. She said, "Honey," she said, I'm not one that can see it on a screen. I need to be able to see it in person. You know what I said? I said, no. I know how this whole thing works. This may be my first marriage, but this ain't my first rodeo, and I know how this is going to go down, Jack. I looked at her. I said, "You're going to see it on the screen." She came up to me, put her arms around me. She said, "You're the best preacher I've ever heard in my life." She said, "You're the most manly man I've ever met in my life." I said, "Granny, come get the babies. We're going out to CarMax, honey." Man, we got in the car. We went out there and we found what she wanted. We bought what she wanted. We signed the papers on what she wanted. And you know why we went out to CarMax and got what she wanted? It was because she was not happy with what she had before, and it had let her down before. And we'd been stranded on the side of I-40 too many times before, and we had seen too many people blow past us in the fast lane before, and we'd spent too many afternoons sweating because the air condition didn't work, and we were so dissatisfied with what we had that we went hunting for something that would meet the need and would do for us what that was not doing for us. Honey, you've come into this place today because you've tried to drown your sorrows, you've tried to smoke away your grief, you've tried to pop the pill to a new life, and it has left you empty. Some of you have thought you'd find it in a relationship, only to find, "Yes, I do love them, but they're still a void and a hole at the bottom of my heart. I tried filling my mind with knowledge like the Greeks, and I tried to get more wisdom, but much learning has only made me mad." Honey, do you know why those things let you down? Because wisdom did not create this world, and drugs did not create this world, and dope did not create this world, and prostitution and sensuality and pleasure did not create this world, and you are looking for love in all the wrong places. I don't know if it was Marvin Gaye that said that, but it's got good theology on it. You may be looking for love, but if you're looking for love in the wrong places, you will never find it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what they were looking for? They were looking for something that wouldn't let them down. They were looking for something that wouldn't disappoint them. They were looking for something that would not drag them out. They were looking for something that would not leave them hurting and searching and lonely. So here is my second question. If they had failed to see something, number two, what did they desire to see? The Bible tells us this. They said, "Sir, we would see who?" Jesus. They didn't ask for Christ, they asked for Jesus. They didn't ask for Mary's son, they asked for Jesus. They did not ask for Joseph's son, they asked for Jesus. They did not ask for the wave walker, they asked for Jesus. You say, "Preacher, why would they ask for Jesus?" Here's why. You got to understand the journey of those Greeks. Those Greeks had come out of Greece. They had come out of the region of the Greek Empire that was there before the Romans took over. And as they made their journey, now I want you to go with me me. I know I got a sick imagination and sometimes things don't make sense when I get them out. But I'm telling you, if you'll just lend me your mind for just a minute, I promise you, you're going to get blessed. I want you to get inside of the vehicle of my imagination right now and let me take you on a journey. I want you to go with me to those Greeks. I want you to go with me where those Greeks were. As they made their way out of Greece and as they make their way to Jerusalem, as they look around, I imagine those Greeks are looking all around and they see the birds in the sky. They look at those birds and they listen to those birds, and those birds are humming a melody. Those birds are singing a song. Those birds are twirping out a melody like they have never, ever, ever heard before. I believe those Greeks looked up there and they said, I wonder where that bird got that song. I wonder where that bird got that melody in its mouth. I wonder where that bird, what makes that bird so happy. I wonder why it is that bird, no matter if the storm is rolling or if the thunder's raging or if the lightning's flashing, that bird is still singing and that bird is still making a melody and that bird is still just as joyful as it is. That bird doesn't worry about where it gets a worm. That bird doesn't worry about where it lands at night. That bird doesn't worry about what it's going to do during the day. It's as if there is somebody taking care of that bird. I believe they walk down, and as they walk down, they look across the hills of Judea. As they look out across the hills of Judea, you'll notice in Judea that there are rolling plains of green. It's just green as far as you can see. Man, they run that way and they look that way, and the grass is flowing and the hills are rolling. They look out and they say, I wonder where it is that those hills get that peace. I've tried wisdom. I've tried help books. I've tried self-help books. I've tried to do better, live better, act better, go better, be better, do better, but nothing's ever helped me. I wish I just had the peace. I wish I just had the grace. I wish I just had the flow. I wish I just had what those hills had, and I cannot find it. Honey, I believe what really got them is as they got into Jerusalem, they found a lodging place. You got to understand, Greeks could not own land inside of Jerusalem's landscape. They could not own a house. So when they came into Jerusalem, they had to find somebody that would give to them a lodging and a roof over their head. Honey, I imagine that night the rain was falling and the thunder was rolling and the lightning was flashing. And man, it was billowing and it was raging and it was going and it was doing, honey. And they looked at them and they said, boy, I see that there's a roof over my head right now, but I sure do wish, honey, I sure do wish that I had a place to lay my head in the midnight of my despair. I wish that there was a place that I could find that would give me rest for my weary soul, a place that I could go that would give me help in the midnight of my depression and oppression and despair. But you know what I think really got them, Randy? I think as they got into Jerusalem and as they made their way in and out of the streets, as they went down the Via Dolorosa, as it would be known, and as they made their way past the mighty temple, they looked down there and they noticed in everybody's arms they had one thing. In everybody's hands they had one thing. Do you know what that was? Everybody had a lamb. Everybody had a lamb inside of their bosom. And they saw the little children with that lamb wrapped up in their tunic. They saw the daddies with that lamb wrapped up in that tunic. Those Greeks pulled their jacket and they said, can I ask you a question? Why do you have that lamb? Those little boys and those little girls would look at their daddy. The daddy would look at those Greeks and they would say, the reason we have our tunic, the reason we have this lamb is because we've got to go and the lamb has got to pay the price for our sin. The lamb has got to pay the price for our wrong. The lamb has got to pay the price for the things that we have done this year. I believe tears are rolling down their eyes as they say, we don't have a lamb. We don't have anything that will shed blood for us. We don't have anything that's going to give its life for us. About that time, they heard the cry coming out of the walls of Jerusalem, coming through the gate. They heard, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he, honey. I feel like preaching right now, whether you like it, lump it, or bump it, or trump it. I feel God in my soul right now. They looked that way and they said, who is that man coming in that gate? Who is that man that just walked inside of the walls? They said, that is Jesus Christ. That is the Son of Mary. That is the Son of Joseph. That is the Son of God. That is the Son of righteousness. That is the Son of Man. That is the light of God. That is the life of God. That is the glory of God. That is the grace of God. That is the Word of God. And I believe one little boy's pulling on his daddy's jacket because he's got a whole lot of ADHD see in his blood too? He said, tell him, Daddy, tell him, Daddy, tell him, Daddy, tell him, Daddy, who else he is. The daddy says, oh, that's right. He's the creator God. He's the sun God. He's the moon. He's the creator of the sun and the moon. He's the one that walked on the water. He's the one that healed the sick. He's the one that brought bread from heaven. He's the one that brought water from the rock. That little boy's pulling on his jacket, pulling on his jacket, pulling on his jacket. And he says, son, I'm talking right now. Don't you just love it when you're in the mid-conversation with somebody important and your little boy or girl comes up and is yanking your jacket saying, mama, daddy, grandma, granddaddy, please, 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 please. You know what? I just want to say, shut up is what I want to say. But I can't do that because they frown upon that in the social service office. What was I talking about? That little boy, he's pulling on his daddy's jacket and he says, daddy, I just want to know. I've just got to know, daddy. Are you going to tell him or can I tell him? He finally says, son, what do you want? That little boy, he looks up in the eyeballs of that Greek. He says, do you know who he is? He's not only the life of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the wave walker, the wine maker, the storm stealer. He's not just the creator. He's not just the Lord of heaven and the Lord of earth. He's not just the one that brought bread out of the sky, water out of the rock. He's not just the one that traced out the heavens or traced out the rivers and flung up the heavens and shot stars off his fingertips. But John Baptizer said down there in the river of Jordan that he was the Lamb of God that had come to take away the sin of the world. And he's about to go up yonder on Calvary's hill and he's going to give his life. He's going to shed his blood. He's not just going to do it for me. And he's not just going to do it for Bubba. And he's not going to do it for Junior. But he's going to do it for everybody. He told Nicodemus out there in the garden. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, may I tell you, the Jesus that you seek, sir, and the Jesus that you seek, ma'am, he's not just the man from Galilee, he's not just the man from Nazareth, but he is the Lamb of God. He's your sacrifice, what you could not atone for and what you could not pay for and what you could not buy and what you could not earn. He shed his blood, gave his life. He lost everything he had to give you everything you didn't have. He gave up all he was to make you everything he wanted you to be, honey. And when you couldn't do it, he went ahead and did it. And when you couldn't buy it, he went ahead and paid for it. And when you couldn't lay it down, he laid himself down and he gave all that he was. Honey, this morning you've come to seek. I don't know what you've come to seek. You may have come because you heard there's crazy people here. Well, you're going to find them if you hang around long enough. But more than anything, more than all of that, this morning, may I tell you what you really have? You have a God that's come looking for you. You've got a God that's come searching for you. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a God that died for you. Sir, we would see Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And those Greeks said, I've got to have him. I've got to have him. I've had food, and food didn't do it. I've had pleasure, pleasure didn't do it. I've had wisdom, but wisdom didn't do it. There's something about that man. Something about him. And there the Greeks said we would see Jesus. Here's my third question. My third question is, what keeps them from seeing him? Here's my question. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. Go see him. Here's the point. They couldn't. You realize today it is an impossibility for you to find God. It is impossible for you to seek God. Where are you going to find him? You turn every rock in the earth over. The Bible says the heaven of heavens cannot even contain him. You're not going to find him on earth. Or if you go out into outer space and go for thousands and billions of light years, you'll get to the end of the solar system and the universe and realize that it just keeps on going. Where are you going to look? In a tomb? He didn't stay there but 3 days. Are you going to go to Bethany because you've heard he's there? On the east side of the Mount of Olives, he ascended up back to the Father. Are you going to die and go to heaven? That's not a chance I'd like to take. How can you find God? You realize there are basically two things that keep us from seeing things. Number one, distance. Distance. You know what I'd love to see right now? More than anything in my life right now, I'd love to see the Smoky Mountains. There's something healing in my soul when I cross past Asheville and I look up and see the Smoky Mountains. I wouldn't give you two rattlesnake tails for the beach. Something about ADHD and a lot of sand that doesn't go good together. I can't explain it, but I'm just telling you, something don't work out for me. But when I see the mountains, now you know how I get close to the mountains? You know how I see the mountains? I got to get close to them. Do you know how you're going to see Jesus? You say, I got to get close to him. You can't. You can't. It's not possible. Keep walking, you'll never find him. In order for you and I to see Jesus, he has to come looking for us. You say, I don't believe it. You can believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says if the Son of Man is not lifted up, then he doesn't draw anybody to himself. But if the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. John 6, the Holy Spirit tells us through John the writer. He says, except the Spirit of God draw a man, he cannot see God. It is impossible. You know the other thing that keeps us from seeing something? Not just a distance problem. Most of the time we're not looking for it. Are there any men in here that would just be downright honest with me? You stopped looking for stuff a long time ago because your wife hides everything from you. Both of us. God bless you two for being honest. I appreciate the rest of you hypocrites for throwing me out to dry. I hope you get diarrhea at lunch. Say amen right there. Bob, I go looking for my stuff at my house. You know what I do? I come out of the bathroom, I go in the bedroom, and when I go to look for my wallet, my chapstick, and my stuff put in my pocket, it's what I do. Erica, I need you to find this. She says, are you looking? You know what I say? Yep. Now, I'm not looking for them. God knows my heart, I'm not looking for them. But you know what I figure? If I'm not looking, then I don't have to lie when she says, did you find it? Well, that's not true because I just lied about the whole looking thing. So anyways, I think we crossed that bridge. Here's the point. You say, oh, that's so funny. It's not that funny when you think that's what you've been doing to God. That's what every one of us have done to God. God, I don't see you. Where were you last night? When you were shacked up in the world living like the devil, like the rest of us do, don't tell me we're looking for God. You can't look for God with your head buried in the filth of this life. We don't look for God. God has to come looking for us. But there's something else about spirituality. It's not just that we're not looking for God, but we are blind to God. You realize that our God works every day in our life, every moment of our lives, and we just don't see it. We just don't see it. How many times have you almost been in an accident that you didn't know? How many times did a piece of food almost go down the wrong way and choke you? How many times did you almost say something that could have been detrimental to a job? How many times did you need something that you didn't have and didn't know how you were going to get it? You see, that's God. You say it was just a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. There is a sovereign God that rules over all things. And this morning, this is what you don't understand. Yesterday, I was out at the house. I saw the family out at Kenny's house, and he has a driver that worked for him. His name was Rebel. Rebel. Now, Rebel's going to be here at the funeral. And when I say Rebel, I mean Rebel. I want you to get in your mind what a Rebel would look like. And that's what Rebel looks like. But Rebel loves the fire out of this preacher. Pulled up to the house yesterday, and he pulled in right behind me, got out of his truck. And I'd already heard what had happened to him. I said, Rebel, tell me what happened to you, son. He said, well, preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. You and God and that there Jesus ganged up on me. What do you mean, Rebel? I knew what he was saying. He said, y'all coerced me into going to that church y'all told me to go to. And what I didn't know is when I sat down in the back row, God had already sat down and was waiting on me. I said, Rebel, I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me a little bit more. He said, well, if that ain't all, preacher, he said, I'll tell you what else. He said, I knew God was sitting there because I kept feeling like I bumped into somebody, but there was nobody else in the church but about four people. He said, and I kept feeling like somebody was poking me. He said, then all of a sudden I heard somebody whisper in my ear, Rebel, it's time. And he said, right about that time I heard y'all's voices coming to my mind saying, Rebel, you need to give it to Jesus. He said, and the lights turned on. Son, Rebel pulled into that driveway. He just about run me over in that 1985 Ford truck he had. He peeled in there, and you know what he said? Preacher, I sure am glad God ganged up on me. And I believe with all of my soul there are people in this church today that came in with bad motives. But what you need to know right now is God done ganged up on you. Sitting beside you, you can't figure out why the guy beside you won't stop telling you to listen to the preacher, and you look and he's asleep. It's because it's not him, it's Jesus. Brother Scott, I'm done. Come on, my brother. Carrie, come on up here. I want y'all to sing Just As I Am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Hear me now and hear me well. You have come today, oh God, you've come today. And what you don't realize is God had already put the searchlights out on you. Now I want Christians to pray right now for us. Christians, I want you to pray right now. Sir, ma'am, you're not saved. No need to play about it. No need to joke about it. You're not right with God. You and I know it. You know it, God knows it, whether I know it or not. It's what you need to know. God done ganged up on you. And this is what you need to say. Oh God, here I am. Here I am. How many of you would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I know it in God's eyes. I'm not right with God. I know you won't embarrass me, but I want you to pray. Here's my hand. I am not right with God. That's good. Anybody? Preacher, I want to see Jesus. And some have already come down to this old-fashioned altar. That's what I want us to do today. I'm going to get Lindy to come down here. I want Lindy to come down here. Kogan, I want you to come down here. Frankie, I want you to grab a Bible and come down here. Tara, I want you to come with him. These people are going to meet you with a Bible, and they're going to take you somewhere, and they're going to show you how to be born in the family of God. Now, I'm not going to tarry. I'm not going to hasten this thing. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to give it to God. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to bring your family member, bring your friend. I don't care who you bring. God done ganged up on you, and you're not going to get him to leave you alone. I want you right now. Let's stand all over this building right now. Everybody, I want you to come right now. Some are already down here. I want you to come. That's good. Come on. Come on, youngin. Come on, children. Come on. Oh, God. Yes. God bless you. That's it. Oh, Miss Linda, y'all just pray with them. Just pray over them. Terry, y'all just pray over them. That's it. There's a God waiting on you with open arms right now. Sir, come on, ma'am, come on. You can play around with this thing all you want. God's not going to let you go. Let the God of glory grab a hold of you. Yes. Young man, young lady, right now God will get you. God will take you just like you are. Yeah. Yes, yes. Keep on singing, Carrie. Keep on singing. God is not done. My wife is right down here. Ladies, come on. Ma'am, come on. My wife will take the Bible. She'll show you how to be saved. The kindest woman you ever want to meet, she'll show you Jesus. She'll show you Jesus right now. Come on. Oh, God. Yes.
Of God I come.
Yes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many of you say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. It's a matter of salvation. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. God bless you. Wow, one. Wow, wow, wow. God bless you. I promise I will. I promise I will. Now, Father, I plead the blood now over this place. I plead the blood, oh God. Holy Ghost, I can't draw them, but you can. Holy Ghost, I can't draw them, but you can. I'm pleading with you and I'm begging you in the name of Jesus to do what only you can do. Oh God, get glory to your name. In the name of Jesus, God help us. My soul is so vexed right now, brothers and sisters. I don't know what to do. Carrie, I want you to go back and sing that first verse. This is what I'll do. I'll borrow from my dear friend CT. I will not shut down the service. If you don't come, it's on you, not on me. Carrie, sing that first verse, my brother. It's on you. It's not on me.
Just as I am.
But that thy blood, sir, I would see him. Sir, I'll see him.
I'll see him.
Yes.
Of God, I come.
Yes. You can look this way. I'm so thankful you're here today, Brother Bob. I want you to come on up, grab you a microphone. My wife and I are going to go back. If I've got all of my visitors. Now, we're starting something today, and you're going to be my guinea pig. If you're visiting today, you're going to be my guinea pig. Now, I'm not going to make you do it, but I want to meet you. I want to shake your hand. I want to know who you are. You come in, you go out, you bring your kids in, you bring your kids out, you drink the water fountains, your kids get their germs all over. I just want to know who you are. I just want to meet you. I want to know who you are. My wife and I are going to go right back now back in the foyer. We want to meet you. We've got some stuff for your kids and got some junk for sugar. I'm talking junk. I'm talking sugar junk for your kids. So if you're visiting with us today, if you've been with us for a couple of weeks now, I want you to come see us. I want to see you. And then, Bob, I hadn't told you about this, but we're going to start a new ministry tonight, a new thing. At 5:30, I'm going to get you to run our prayer room. We're going to meet down in the GBI building for men and women, and Bob's going to go over anything to pray about in the church, funeral arrangements, stuff like that. We're going to start that today, all right? You planning to be here tonight, weren't you? I hope so. But anyways, we'll be here. You're always here. Don't do that to me. Brother Bob, I want you to pray, my friend. God bless you all. I'll see you tonight. Prayer room, 5:30. Visitors, I look forward to seeing you. 6 o'clock tonight. God bless you all. Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, throne of grace this morning, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we're thankful for the day that we saw Jesus. We saw our need of a Savior. We didn't want to die and go to hell. And the Holy Spirit of God arrested our soul and took us to Calvary. And that day we were pardoned and forgiven of sin. Jesus Christ became the Lord of our life, the Savior of our soul, our comforter and our friend. We thank you, our Father, today for the Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood that every person could be redeemed. Our Father, I pray that you take this message that's been preached this morning to the hearts of each one. Lord, if there be those here today that's lost and undone, Father, the Bible tells us that today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. We do not have the promise of tomorrow. We only have today. And our Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will help them to see their need of Jesus. It would be the greatest decision they've ever made in life. We ask, Lord, to keep your hand upon our church. Continue to bless our pastor. Dismiss us now with our love. Bring us back tonight. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day. God bless you.